All right, here we go. Salute to NBA Nation on this Saturday afternoon. Another edition of NBA Weekly presented by Prize Picks. Man, go to prizepicks.com and use our code MBAR for a first-time deposit match of up to $100. CP the Franchise, Alex Ritars, Andrew Salop, the 1-2 combo in the building on today's show. It is the final countdown, man. It is the final grind towards the NBA postseason. And we're going to talk about missed opportunities. The Knicks blowing it. The Bucks always blowing it. Pause. And who are our East and West sleepers for this playoff run?
CP started this show out wild. Salute. Crazy.
Kyle, let's get into it. Let's get into it, man. Oh, man.
You all right, man? Sheesh.
I think it was that earthquake. I told you,
man.
To CP.
I told you, man. The quake has been like, it's been throwing me off my center, man. You know,
right now. Recalibration.
Yeah, right now I'm waiting for more aftershocks. Like, I don't know what to do. Do I need to stand in a doorway for the whole day? I don't know, man. I don't know.
Stand in the doorway.
You know what I'm saying?
Just go back to watching your birds, CP. Just go back to bird watching.
That's it, man. So, all right, let's get into it, man. You know, final stretch of the season. Six games left, and it seems like, you know, a lot of teams are limping to the finish line here. We got the Knicks, the Randall news with the Knicks. You have OKC, SGA with the quad. No Zion, no Brandon Ingram last night for the Pelicans. You had Lucas sitting out the game for the Mavs. A lot of walking woundeds around the NBA right now, man. I mean, let's just talk about that. What do you guys think about that, man?
Insane. I mean, guys missing time, Giannis being out for a bit. I mean, you don't have Julius Randle. It's all over the place. But I guess if you're a fan of chaos, as I know CP is, CP loves chaos.
Love it.
This is the pinnacle of what you want, right?
Yeah.
You have no idea how the season's going to end. You know, it could be anywhere between the Bucks, the Cavs, the Knicks, the Pacers, the Heat, Orlando Magic, anybody in that top six. And then when you talk about the play-in, I mean, between the Bulls and whoever, I mean, it's just going to make for some good basketball to start off with. I'm looking forward to the playoffs starting in the play-in games, because that's going to be interesting to see who comes out and gets the seventh and eighth seed. But it's all over the place right now. So if you love chaos,
yeah,
you're welcome.
Yeah, Andrew, what about you, man?
Yeah, I mean, you know, winning an NBA championship is so much about the team that stays the healthiest, right?
Right.
Like, that's a big part of it.
Big part.
But I do want to say, like, I want to give kudos to Julius Randle for not taking the easy way out. I think surgery, like, I've been through my own stuff, and I think surgery should always be the last resort. And he tried his best to get back, right, and play with this team, because he felt like he had a chance to win a championship, and he was playing great himself. So, kudos to him. I know people thought he should get the surgery early, but I think in a way that would have been mailing it in.
Right.
And like, kudos to Julius, man, because I really respect it. And, you know, it's going to be tough here on out for the Knicks without their second best player, but it is what it is. And we got to see how things roll from here.
Yeah. I mean, I can't blame Julius Randle one bit for trying. Right. And, right. You know, it's like we were telling the fans on the show when the news went down. I mean, clearly there was a meeting of the minds here between team officials, between Julius and the doctors, that said, hey, maybe there's a chance that he could get to a point where he's healed enough. Maybe he can play through the discomfort, play through the pain. And clearly, you know, as they said, he had a setback in the non-contact practice. And so they opted for the surgery. And like Vidal said earlier this week, maybe that's not a bad thing that he comes back in December as opposed to starting off in November. He comes back in January. And so maybe he's a little bit fresher as they get towards the postseason next year if they're in that position. So, you know, it's one of those things. But, you know, the Knicks just got to move forward. And they did move forward after that when they ran the Kings out the building after being down 21 points. But then they took a step back last night, man, against the Chicago Bulls team. You had this bizarre Josh Hart ejection that just kind of set the tone for the night. 50 points combined between Javonte Green and Ayo Dosunmu. And before you know it, the Knicks were on the losing end of things, 108-100, man. But they had a chance with the Orlando Magic move losing. They had a chance to move up to fourth. And with your Milwaukee Bucks sliding, they had a shot at number two with these two teams playing on Sunday, man. And so I'll start with you, man, on the missed opportunity. What'd you think about that last night with this loss?
I mean, it's brutal, CP. You want the Knicks to win because, well, first of all, I want to be selfish because we have record predictions, okay? I believe I had 48 or 49. I forget. Let me go check the chat real quick.
It's all about Al. It's all about Al today.
Yeah, it's all about me, man. I want it to be right. That's all I care about. Let's see. I had at 49 wins. So, you know, I need the Knicks to get the 49 just to beat UCP, who predicted 48. And CK's got 46. JD, we're not hitting 50. So okay. I'm sorry about that, bud.
There we go.
But anyway, look, outside of that, you want them to win because I don't want to see the Miami Heat in the first round. I don't want to see any of those guys. I want a good matchup that for the Knicks is favorable to them since they're not going to have Julius. So, I mean, if they stay at the 4-5 right now, I mean, I would like to see them get home court advantage. The Magic is not a terrifying team. To me, it's just last year's Knicks.
Yeah.
Very physical play, not good perimeter shooting team. So for them, that's not a bad matchup. But then you got to think about second round and stuff like that. But you just need the Knicks to win, man. And it's just tough because you got the Celtics this week. You got the Bucks tomorrow. You know, you don't have your second best player, as Andrew said, and Julius Randle for this team. So Giannis, who's questionable for tomorrow as of right now, is designated as out. But if you have Giannis back, that's Dame and Giannis versus Jalen Brunson. Unless you get some crazy performance from either Josh Hart, Dante DiVincenzo, Miles McBride, maybe Bogdanovich decides to wake up and be good. But that's a tall order for a team that's, for the Knicks, shorthanded. Yeah, we got OG back. He'd probably get the Giannis assignment. But even for tomorrow, and if you haven't catch it yet, did a 10 a.m. Knicks versus Bucks game of the week preview. Go check it out after this. But it's just a questionable matchup, man. And between both those teams, tomorrow is just a very important game. And as a Knicks fan, you want to see them win. But covering the league wide, like for them, like they can't blow any more opportunities. You don't know what the Celtics are going to be doing on Thursday. You know, you got the Bulls two more times. They just beat you yesterday. Yeah. And then you got the Nets. So you can't take any of these games lightly with the Knicks positioning. So each game matters here on out.
I mean, right now, tied with the Magic, but, you know, not having the tiebreaker, they dropped to fifth. One game back of the Cavs. Cavs also soul-searching. Is Mitchell healthy? Does he need to rest? What's going on? Is he leaving? Yes, he is. But, you know, so they got a lot going on with Cleveland. And then two games in back of the Bucks, Andrew, for two. Pause. But what do you think about, you know, the Knicks missing that opportunity last night?
Yeah, I see. You do know that two flagrants is an ejection.
Nah, man, I'm making up for it, man. Last night they did my guy Josh Hart dirty. we getting second chances on tonight's show, man. Go ahead, Andrew.
Yeah, I mean, a huge loss because, you know, this is a make or miss league, and Knicks were just missing some opportunities from corner threes and from other spots as well. And, you know, Josh Hart cleans up some of that, right?
Yeah.
And he definitely would have if he was in the building. He was in the building, but he was ejected in the, you know, somewhere. Who knows where he was? But
yeah.
Yeah, it's just tough with them losing Hart. Also, you know, styles make fights, and Drummond is an interesting player, right? Like, you're not used to playing players like Drummond, and he did some damage there.
Killed him.
Down the stretch of that game. So it's weird. I mean, shouts to the Bulls because they could mail it in at this point, and they didn't, and they're playing hard. That dunk by Green was just tough. As I was telling you guys, I got Alex riled up this morning. They played
nasty work.
Yeah.
Yeah, nasty work. But, you know, DeSumo was great. Green was great, obviously. DeRozan did what he had to do. But I think also, like, Drummond, he only had 10, but all those rebounds, it just
hurt him.
Kinda, he punished Hardenstein a little bit, right? Down the stretch there. So, you know, in the combination of Hart not being there with his energy and rebounding, the Knicks just missing shots, and Drummond punishing them in the interior, I think that was a combination and a big reason why the Knicks lost. And Brunson did his thing. Like, you know, Brunson, 35, 11, and 6, and we're not even talking about it. Like, he's just been this good all season long, all NBA for sure.
I think the Hart thing definitely hurt them, and he's been my X factor for the playoffs, even if Julius Randle was coming back. But now he's even more important for me because he has to do everything for this team to survive. With Julius Randle, you're losing a 25-plus, 10-rebound guy. They've got to make that up between Hart and DiVincenzo. But I think where Hart has to be there for this team even more so than DiVincenzo, because he's more capable, is being able to bend the defense. Whether it's in transition or even in the half court, they've got to be able to get some easier buckets or just generate more looks from the three in rhythm so that you're not having Dante out there, you know, shooting from 40 feet, or Brunson out there. He had tough matchups last night, even though he had the 31-10. Caruso, all defense. DeSumo's probably going to be an all defense in his future. So they made it tough for him. Orlando, if they see them in the first round, is going to be the same thing. Even though it's a favorable matchup for the Knicks, like, they can handle them. They need more engines, especially when it grinds to a half court. And I think that's where Josh Hart is going to be vital for this team. You know, to be able to bend the defense, kick it out, get some offensive continuity, because you're missing that in Julius Randle. It's a huge hole with Julius Randle missing.
Is it fair to say he's this team's Draymond?
Absolutely.
Yes, at 1,000%.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I was thinking that same thing where I'm like, as CP's talking, and I know we're not talking about championship aspirations, it's kind of hard to go that route, but if you just think how this current Knicks team is constructed, I'm thinking about like the Warriors when they won their first chip against the Cavs, and it's like, you know, your superstar, not saying they are, and I know people, whoever's going to aggregate and say I'm saying they're exactly the same, I'm not saying that.
Yeah.
But I'm saying, like, you think about who's your lead player. Steph Curry, that would be Brunson for us. You think about your second player, it was Klay for the Warriors. It's Randall for this team. You think about your superstar role player, Josh Hart is to Draymond Green. And then you keep going down the line, whether it's Boga to Hartenstein or Mitchell Robinson. And then you keep going, like, Wiggins is to OG, not Wiggins, Harrison Barnes and OG Anunoby. Obviously, they're all not the same, but I'm just thinking about important structure, and you think how good you need that entire starting unit. You missed any one of those guys in that playoff run,
yeah,
Warriors don't win. Warriors aren't competing. You have LeBron James and Dellavedova just running away with that championship. And it's, yep, like, that's just how I look at this Knicks team. Like, when you don't have Julius Randle, so Josh Hart, and like what we've seen with Draymond Green, even when Klay was out missing those injuries, you had to ask Draymond to do the same thing, like play above what he is, just to make sure that team was competing.
Let me ask you guys this, because I think CP spoke to it a little bit right there. And Alex, you just compared the Warriors to the Knicks a little bit. I know people are going to aggregate or whatever. Even for the future, even with Randle and Brunson in full health, do you think this team's offense generates enough easy shots for them to eventually win a championship? Or do you think there's too much of reliance on tough shot making?
I think they showed that you could. They could. But it's just the unknown, right? Like, you look at the stretch that they went on in January. What were they, 12-1 when OG got there with the three of them? The way that Randle was able to operate out of the double teams, Brunson as well, and being able to find OG, being able to find DiVincenzo. Now you have Deuce, right? Like, this team, it's just so much what ifs, because McBride kind of hit his strides when Randle went out. You know, he kind of started the ascent after the trade, and then got even better and better and better. And so now there's another one where it's like, man, you got another dead shot shooter that you're just not going to be able to see the potential, the full potential, because you have a lost engine. So, you know, I think therein lies a challenge. But, you know, the reason I big up Hart and think that he can be the X factor is that even though the Knicks, you know, the chances are vastly diminished, especially with Randle out, they still will defend at a high level and rebound at a very high level. And I think they'll do that enough where they'll be in a lot of these games, even in the playoffs. So the question is, will you get enough offense to keep up? Because I'm not afraid of Orlando, not afraid of Cleveland in the first round, not afraid of Indiana. Like last night when the Knicks got overpowered on the boards, they're not going to see another center like that for the rest of the playoffs if they make it. You know what I mean?
Last 100%.
Night it was just one of those things. So to me, they're going to be the bigger team, the more physical team, the better rebounding team, and the better defense on most nights. It's just, can the offense pick up on the other side?
Al, let me ask you this too, actually. I want you to answer that, but now recalibrated, Randall's not going to be with the team. What's the Knicks ceiling now? Like, what would you be happy with as a Knicks fan to say, like, oh, this was a good season going forward?
Make it a series in the first round, man. I mean, I don't want to see a gentleman sweep.
Yeah.
You can't go out in five games. If you take it to six, seven would be great. I mean, you have to change expectations for this team with not having Julius Randle. It's just vastly different. I mean, we've seen that over the last month, 2 months, that this team is up and down without having Randle. So
yeah,
I know for some that's saying, oh, that's weak. Why are we lowering our expectations? Well, things have changed.
It's realistic.
We don't have Julius.
Yeah.
So like, that's real. Yeah. Like, to me, it's realistic, where we've seen Brunson put up 35 last night and we still lost to the Chicago Bulls, who have, you know, locked in a play-in category. They're not even like the best team. They're 37 and 40. They have their own issues, but you know, if you're going to be losing games like that, even when you're having spectacular performances from your best guy, your number one guy, it just shows that you still need help on this team. And that goes for anybody. It doesn't matter what superstar it is. It could be Giannis, LeBron. At some level, you need help, even if you're that guy. And I think just for me, I have to tone back the expectations. So if you make it a competitive first round, that's great. If you get to the second round with this team right now, because everyone's hot and you have something similar to what the Miami Heat had last year, you're just rolling, or even like the Lakers, how they were just rolling. I'd be thoroughly impressed, but give me a competitive first round. I think making it, just staying where they are right now, the fact that they haven't even dropped into playing category right now, that's just impressive with all the injuries that they had to face. Because think about it, it's not only Julius, right, that we're talking about here now in the postseason. They had to work without Mitchell Robinson. They had to work without OG Anunoby. You've really reshaped the roster of what it started off with, because you had RJ, Quickly, Grimes on this team, and then you lost all three of those guys who were big contributors in some fashion last season, whether fans want to admit it or not, based on how they've, you know, they have their own gripes with how each player performed and whatever it was, but those guys were three critical pieces that all helped get the Knicks to the postseason last year. You don't have that. You change it dramatically during the middle of the season. Then injuries happen. Like, we got to change expectations around here.
So to everybody in the chat, once again, hit that thumbs up button for your boys, CP, Alex, and Andrew in the building. NBA Weekly on this Saturday afternoon. Remember to check out our sponsor at Prize Picks. Use our code MBAR for a first-time deposit match of up to $100. And as we speak about the Knicks on Sunday, they will take on the number 2 seed Milwaukee Bucks, but a reeling Milwaukee Buck team, who are now looking at 3 straight losses after last night's 117-111 loss at home to our old guys, Emmanuel Quickly, RJ Barrett, and the Toronto Raptors. A 50-piece in their own right, 26-7 for Broadway Barrett, 8-18. Welcome back, RJ. 9-11 from the free throws. He's knocking them down. How about Quick? 4-12 from the field, 14-15 free throws. Who's checking Quick? Is that Dame? Is that Malik Beasley? Who was Quick checking last night? He almost had a triple-double. 25-11-9, 3 steals. Andrew, we got to talk about it, man. What is up with your Milwaukee Bucks team, man? Is it over with or what, man? What is up?
Do not pivot to Scotty Barnes, okay? Right. We all know that's your guy.
He ain't there. Scotty Barnes ain't there.
Take it easy, guys. Take it easy.
It's not answers.
It's not time to push the panic button. This is recency bias.
Uh-oh.
You know, they're dealing with some injuries. They're dealing with some injuries. And I know it looks bad losing to these three teams, the Wizards, the Grizzlies, and the Raptors. But
not great.
This is a low ceiling, a high ceiling, low floor team. And I believe in their ceiling. And with Dame and Giannis, I think they will get it together. They're just resting Giannis right now, all right? They're resting him. They're making sure he's okay. It's probably not even a real injury. We need him for the playoffs. We need him. Look, I'm saying we out here. I'm so hyped up. The YouTube commenters are going to think I'm actually a fan of this team. But I truly believe them. You know, obviously, you know, and shout out to Doc Rivers. Obviously, coaching wasn't the only issue, right? Yeah. Because, I mean, sorry, shout out to Adrian Griffin, because coaching wasn't the only issue. I mean, they changed coaches, and there's still issues with defense and all kinds of stuff. But, yeah, the reason why I believe in this team, and I'm going to keep harping on it, partly the reason why when I get to my sleeper in the West, why I believe in this team, their 2 stars will not fold in the playoffs. I guarantee you that. And I think that's important. I think there's some questions when we see the Celtics about their 2 stars in the playoffs. There's some questions. We haven't seen it yet. But these 2 guys will be ready in the playoffs, and I think they'll get it together. You know, tough stretch right here, but I still believe in these Milwaukee Bucks.
Questions about the Celtics. We have questions about the Bucks, Andrew. I mean, come on, man. I mean, I don't know how you can just like continue to say like, yeah, we're okay over here when things are just saying otherwise during the regular season. I mean, this team is playing 500 ball under Doc Rivers. I mean,
you know, the playoffs are a different sport, Al. Come on.
Yes. They are also very different for Doc Rivers, who, you know, can't get it out of the second round, you know? So this is, I mean, I just have to lower the expectation, right? He's coaching above 500 ball. And now we're going to ask him to go take Dame and Giannis past the second round.
All-star coach. You know, I know that's the narrative.
Good Lord.
Well, you know what? Let's hear from Doc. Let's hear what Doc got to say on this loss last night and a 3-game slide. Doc, how do you feel? Let's go to Doc on the post-game presser. Here he is, man.
And the last three were against three bad teams, you know, and to me that's inexcusable for all of us. You know, as I told them, I said, this is on me. I got to figure out what we got to do to play at a higher pace. We started out the game. It was beautiful, I thought, the first quarter. And as the game went on, you can just see it, especially the second quarter. Second and third quarter were crushes for us.
Anger, disappointment.
I'm frustrated, and they're frustrated. I guess that's a good thing. But that's not going to get you anywhere. Frustration gets you nowhere. We got to work ourselves through this. You can feel it. You literally can. You can feel it. You can feel it during the game. And you go through these things. I've been through them. You do. You got to work yourself out of them. Even one of the officials said it, man, you can feel the heaviness of your team right now. And
Sounds like a lot of pressure, man.
Great speaker of the game, I'll tell you that.
Sounds absolutely, absolutely. Yes, I mean, he's been through it all, man. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
He's a basketball lifer for sure.
Yes.
Flaws and all. But, Doc, questioning the mental toughness of his team, a team that has Dame Time, Giannis, Middleton. I think it's going to come to a point. All season we're like, man, if this can come together, if they can do this, if they can do that. I'm just, you know,
a lot of ifs, CP.
A lot of ifs, just like the Knicks. But my thing is, like, you know, the injuries are mounting up. It's Giannis's time with the injuries. It was Middleton before that. Doc's trying to, you know, change the defense. Is the defense improved? Yes or no? I think their depth is going to be a question in the playoffs. Grayson Allen shining with the Phoenix Suns. Like, I go back to the holiday trade was necessary. I don't think they were going to reach their championship ceiling continuing with Holiday and even with Grayson Allen. They needed more. They took the chance, but they severely sacrificed their defense and their depth, and now they're scrambling to fix it. They put one coach on the chopping block already. Now it's the chopping block expert in Doc Rivers. This could be a disaster, man.
Do you guys believe in Dame and Giannis as playoff performers? Let me ask you.
Yeah, I believe in playoff performers, but you know, like, you also need somebody who's at the helm coaching to put you in position to win.
You think he's that bad, Al, as a coach?
I don't, like, bro, you just had Kawhi Leonard and Paul George. I mean, granted, they dealt with injuries, but my goodness, you just had Joel Embiid, James Harden, and Tyrese Maxey. Like, and you blew a series to the Boston Celtics where they were up.
Yeah.
Like, I get that Joel Embiid has his issues.
Yeah.
I get that James Harden has his issues. But now you're going to tell me that, look, Giannis, championship, he's got a ring. Dame, still looking for a ring. It is just hard for me to believe in Doc Rivers being that guy who, and look, Andrew, we've had discussions about Tom Thibodeau. Tibbs, Docs, and Doc coached together out in Boston. They're similar coaches in some respect. Especially when it comes to, like, you know, one's just a more of a motivational speaker than the other, that being Doc Rivers, Tibbs being more of an X's and O's guy. But I just can't believe in Doc taking this team to the promised land.
Yeah, well, I think that's a fair assessment. I don't know if Tibbs and Doc embrace the modern style of basketball as much as maybe they could. So I definitely agree with you in that regard. Yeah. But I do think they're both great coaches. I just think they could add some, like, modern stuff to get their team easier shots over the course of time. And then the defense has been bad with Milwaukee, too. But there has been stretches it got better. So,
yeah,
it's hard to say.
I would say in any series that they go into, they will have the two best players on the court. Right?
Yeah.
Is that debatable? I don't think that's debatable. They will have the two best on the court. It's not even them that I'm worried about, though. It's a supporting cast. It's defense. Can they play at a high level? I don't believe it. I don't believe that Dame and Malik Beasley will just turn it up in the postseason and allow them to be a stout championship defense. Like, neither one of them would be able to take on a Jalen Brunson in a series. They would get absolutely destroyed. You know what I mean? And then that puts pressure on everybody else. Like, remember Brook Lopez at one point was, you know, defensive player of the year candidate, and things changed this year. What's one of the bigger changes? You don't have Jrue Holiday. You know what I mean? You don't have Jrue Holiday. Like, you can't just rely on your big man to plug all your holes. Like, pause, but you know, cover all your mistakes. Like
you
whack-a-mole.
Are on one today.
I'm telling you, the earthquake is just throwing me off.
Guys, listen, I don't want to get to my sleeper team, who I think has a chance to win the East.
Okay,
we'll get to that later. But yeah. I mean, the Celtics probably have the second best chance to win the East, right? Still, I mean, they're number two with all this. They're number two in the East.
Yeah, they should be number three. The Knicks would have handled their business and then beaten them on Sunday. You know, no, you're right, and that is the Dame and Giannis effect. You still had Dame with 36 points last night. Middleton, we'll see who's he going to be in the playoffs.
But he goes up and down a little bit this season. Yeah,
but yeah, their talent, their two-headed monster, has been the reason why they're able to be second in a competitive East.
Yeah, Dame is scary at the end of games in the playoffs, man.
Yeah,
like that's even like Chris Middleton was their closer, right? For years, even like he would get the ball down the stretch of games often if Giannis wasn't getting to the line. I mean, and now that's Dame. I think that gives you a different dynamic in the playoff. Like playoff Dame is different.
Yeah.
So we'll see.
Let's get to it, man. Moving on to sleeper. Salute to everybody in the chat. Once again, hit that thumbs up button for your boys, CP, Alex, Andrew in the building. The NBA Report. Like, share, subscribe to the channel. Number one show for the fans by the fans. This is NBA Weekly on a Saturday. Let's salute my guys in the chat. So K-Dot, BK Goblin in here. Lee Blocks, I'm checking in from the UK. Salute to TM. Junior Caroma always in here. Jay Boogie, the closer. Let's go. Will Rose, how you feeling? My two cents checking in from France. So we got all our regulars in here. Salute to everybody in the chat. All right, Al. Kick us off, man. Your sleeper team. One team in the East. Let's start with the East. Who's your sleeper team in the East right now?
My sleeper team, it's got to be the Philadelphia 76ers for me, man. Just because you get Joel Embiid back.
Process is back.
They went down to Miami, took care of business.
Yeah.
I think for them, and I like what Nick Nurse has done with the team, especially prior to Joel Embiid missing time. I think for them, you know, it's still they still have a chance to get out of the play-in. Everything is still up for grabs between 1 through 8. But I just think for them, they're a team that I'm looking out for just because with Nick Nurse's creative defensive schemes, you have Joel Embiid, who's playing at such a high MVP level, just going in there, getting you 30 on a consistent basis. Maxey's rise. I got to go with the Sixers because they fell off, man. They've kind of gone to the wayside because they had to ask Maxey to do a lot in Embiid's absence. I think we kind of forgot how good this team can be. And so, you know, we're talking about the Magic right now. We're talking about the Pacers. We're talking about Cleveland, what they could be when Donovan Mitchell is back. I think it goes down to the 76ers because it's like a dormant giant waiting to just, you know, come out and just shock the world almost.
Yeah.
I'm going with the Sixers as my sleeper team.
I like that. Andrew, how are you looking?
Did we not forget who won the East last year? Did we not forget who won the East? The Heat are the biggest sleeper, and we sleep on them every single year.
I would like to continue to sleep on them.
You know, playoff Jimmy is a real thing. They just got Tyler Hero back, and I think Tyler Hero could give them some even more offensive juice that they had last year. We know this coaching staff maximizes the talent, and with Terry there, with Tyler Hero there, if Jimmy and Bam could stay healthy – Jovic is a hell of a player, too. If you watch him play basketball, that guy could play basketball. Duncan running around screens, hopefully he could stay healthy. I mean, this team, there's a chance.
Did you mention Jaime?
Yeah, Jaime's been up and down since the injury, but Jaime, too. I mean, that guy's a complete basketball player already. I feel like this team might even have more talent than last year, and they won the East last year. And you know this Miami coaching staff always maximizes their talent. So Tyler Hero is back. Great game last night. I think his ideal role is the sixth man. And with that scoring punch and what they already have with playoff Jimmy. I mean, playoff Jimmy looks like playoff Jimmy. I think this team could actually win the East.
You guys present two good choices. I would love to say my New York Knicks, but we're a bit decimated. I would love to be pleasantly surprised. We are a bit decimated right now. Philadelphia. I mean, Embiid coming back, I mean, what a perfect time, you know, as a guy who every playoff run, he's always injured, right? Whether it's a lower extremity, it's the orbital 1 year, it's the hand, something, he's always banged up. Now he's coming back at the perfect time, healthier, you know, who knows how healthy the meniscus is, but healthier. And, you know, in his debut coming back, he drops with 30 points against the Miami Heat. his emergence, this is an MVP right here. This was an MVP caliber player. That allows everybody else to go back into their spots. It allows Maxey to be himself, right? He's still going to draw a lot of attention, even draw some doubles, but now you're in trouble because you have Embiid out there on the floor. It allows Buddy Hield to kind of settle into his role. All the supporting cast from Lowry. Now Kelly Oubre can be his erratic self, and, you know, sometimes maybe you might miss him, maybe you might not, but you have help. You have a superstar with Joel Embiid, and so now that Sixers depth becomes a strength with Tobias and those guys. And so I like that pick. I got to go with Miami. I got to go with Miami. Ugh. I'm sorry. Oh. I'm sorry, man. I just saw him this week. The way they handled the Knicks, I have to, you know, they earned the respect of being a sleeper after they beat that Knick team, a Knick juggernaut. But, you know, in all seriousness, with Hero coming back, adding to their offense, the Scary Terry pickup was going to be a big one for them. He killed the Knicks. That's not Lowry there anymore. You know, you don't have a washed-up point guard there. You have a legitimate scorer, a guy that can make it tough for you defensively. And, you know, if you look at – they don't have – when I talk about size with the Heat, they don't have, like, you know, physical front court size. But if you look at all from their guards down, they have versatility. They have switchable players. They have bigger guards when you look
aggregate
at
size.
Aggregate size, right? When you look at Caleb Martin, and you look at Scary Terry, they got Hawkes out there. You put in Duncan Robinson. Like, they have guys that can give you a little bit of trouble, and they're very versatile. They're very versatile. And then you got Bam to protect as a safety and all of that. Dirty player or not, so still one of the best defensive big men, I'd say top three in the league. And then the coaching factor.
Yeah.
I got to give it to them. They're a better team than they were last year. And I think they could be the sleeper team. That's my sleeper pick. Unfortunately, I hate giving them credit, man. I hate giving them credit, but I think my sleeper team.
Look, I know you guys want the Knicks to win the East. Would it be fun to see the Heat beat Boston? Come on, that'd be fun. That'd be fun, man. No? All right. No, not fun?
Right. No. No.
As a Knicks fan, how can I enjoy the Miami Heat and their success? What are we
well, CP is
I love the NBA, man. I have some morals as a Knicks fan.
But CP's getting logical. He said the Heat were the biggest sleeper. We got to get logical here, right?
The biggest sleeper.
Hold on one second.
I'm not questioning your guys' Knicks fan.
Yes. Hold on. You know? Hold on.
I could never root for the Miami Heat to go to the finals again.
Hold on one second.
Yeah,
I think we have to understand. I could be logical, but I'm also irrational as a fan. Okay, I leave with my heart at times, Andrew. I have to leave with my heart as a Knicks fan, and just saying yes, I would love to watch the Miami Heat go all the way. Like, my brain's probably saying, you know what, that makes sense, but my heart's saying no.
Or is it some Celtics fandom getting in there, living in Boston too much? Is that
talk to him?
Good Lord,
talk to him.
Good Lord.
It's a healthy
respect.
Give me
respect. The Sixers and the Heat. I'd like to see that, man.
It's a healthy respect. All right, Al, just in the interest of time, let's go to the West. Go to the West. Your pick.
Oh, my goodness. My pick for the West. This is tough, but I'm going to go with the Dallas Mavericks.
Okay.
I do like the Mavericks. I do like that pickup
PJ.
Wow. PJ. I do like PJ. I do like Gafford being another, like having a good center behind Wively. I do like the emergence of Wively on the team. It's just hard to, you know, downplay how Luka and Kyrie could just take over a game. I think offensively, you're just not stopping either one of them. If it's Luka who's not going to score on you, it's going to be Kyrie. I mean, you're talking about some of the best shot creators in the game, and both of them with completely different playing styles. Luka going at his own pace, slow, herky-jerky, could get to his own shots, three, mid-range, could take you off the dribble and attack the rim. Kyrie with his craftiness, like when Kyrie's in his bag, he is in his bag. There's no other guard in the league right now that can stop Kyrie and that can keep up with his elite shot-making. I mean, just his finishing alone, that's a guy who can get to the rim, such a crafty finisher. Like, how do you stop that?
Yeah.
So I got to go with the Dallas Mavericks just because offensively, I just see them being able to outscore anybody and keep up with any scoring. Like, you know, if you're talking about this and the Denver Nuggets, like as a potential matchup, scoring wise, it's going to be fine. Defensively, it's where I look at the Dallas Mavericks with an issue, but and just be trying to be able to stop someone like Jokic. But I look at that as saying, like, you know, that's a team that could easily be a dark horse in the West, just because you got the Clippers going, you know, they're just collapsing in Clippers fashion.
Yeah.
So I'm going to go with the Mavericks.
Yeah, that was my pick, man. Clips yeah. on a tailspin. When they asked Paul George, he said, how do you get James Harden going again? He goes, I don't know. I'm not the coach.
Oh, I guess the vibes are not immaculate.
The vibes are not immaculate.
PG-13 said that?
He said, I'm not the coach.
Oh, he'll be a Pacer by next year.
I think he'll be a Sixer by next year.
Okay, one of them teams.
He's going to be a Sixer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm not going to be here, man. He'd
be great for the Knicks. Great for the Knicks.
As a free, it's, I mean, hard. If you don't have to trade him, man, for sure. But I that would be cool, yeah, having him and OG as a wing tandem.
Oh, my
cow.
God. Great. Yeah. But I totally agree with Al. I totally agree with Al.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
You know, those two guys are dangerous. And I to my Bucks point, like, I just totally believe in them in the playoffs. I don't think those two will ever fold in the playoffs. I also think Kyrie's experience playing with LeBron helped them so much here. Playing with Luka. I mean, this team is surging.
Yeah.
Without Luka Doncic, they just beat the Warriors last night. Couldn't agree more with you, Al.
Agreed. I think. Well, let me eliminate a couple of teams. Clippers, as you guys said, reeling. I just don't think they show me enough. They're not playing well enough down the stretch to show me that they're a dark horse. I don't believe in Minnesota long term in this thing, in this dance. Even though they're number one seed in the West, I think they can get knocked out in the first round. Phoenix. Potentially. I think Phoenix, potentially. They're playing very well, and they're starting to come together at the right time. Pelicans, I'm counting out. I don't believe in the B.I. Zion tandem. I don't think they have enough killer instinct to get it done in a big spot, and so I don't really trust them. And they've kind of been kind of up and down. They just drop back into the play-in. Sacramento, forget it. They're cooked. They're too soft and not enough size there. I think it's Dallas, man. Just as you guys said, they have the two superstars with the killer instinct. P.J. Washington just dropped 32, five steals against the Golden State Warriors last night. They needed to add some front court depth, versatility. He's given them that. How far will it take them? We shall see. I think depending on the matchups that they get, they could have a nice run at this thing. Right now, they're looking at the Clippers in a 4-5 matchup, potentially, even though the Suns are creeping up. They're one game back at Dallas. And then if Minnesota keeps that number one seed and they get out of, you know, 1-8 against the play-in team, then you're looking at a Mavericks-Minnesota second-round matchup, which I think I give the Mavs a chance to win. And then you're going into the conference finals against Denver. Who knows? Who knows what happens by then? What happens with Denver? Are they in there healthy? Who knows? I think the Mavericks can be that team. How about Dante Exum shooting 50% from three, man?
Initiating some offense.
How about Dante Exum?
Hey, yeah. Walt, you know, Perrin saw the future.
Yeah.
Yeah. When he was out in Utah.
Man, that was just such a great move by Dallas, right? Like, guy wasn't even in the NBA. Pick him up. Like, just a plus player on
great
both
job.
Sides of the floor. Yeah.
Well-deserved, man. Well-deserved. What do you guys think of the chat, man? Who are your sleepers in the East and the West? Leave us a comment in the chat or leave us a comment after this video, and we will respond afterwards. So very much looking forward to it, man. Five or six games left in the season. Season over in just about a week, man. So by next weekend, we'll potentially be wrapping up the final game or so and then look into the play-in, man. We are right here. Season goes by very, very quickly, man.
And the NBA report might have some stuff going on for the playoffs.
There you
so
go.
Stay tuned.
There
stay
you
tuned.
Go, man. Definitely stay tuned for those announcements. All right, fellas. Last topic of the day. Bronny. The Bronny saga, man. Bronny James has elected to – well, number one, he's elected to enter into the NBA draft. He's jumped into the sign-in portal. And so, he's covering all the bases, if you will, Andrew. Just in case, you know, it just doesn't work out.
Yeah.
What do you think, man? What do you think about the Bronny James news?
Look, I always, yeah, I mean, what was, like, the question is always, like, what do you think about Bronny's decision? I don't know his decision besides he's not going back to USC. I mean, he could pretty much go anywhere and do anything
yeah.
he wants.
Yeah.
So what's the actual decision? I mean, that's a whole other topic. But I always thought Bronny would be an NBA player, very athletic, could shoot the basketball. I thought he would grow more than he did. That was part mm-hmm. of my equation why I thought he'd become an NBA player. And then obviously his dad is LeBron. He struggled first year in USC, but that doesn't mean he'll never become an NBA level player. I think he has all the resources And I think he's a motivated kid that'll get to a level where he could play in the NBA. Is he ready right now? No. So the question is, would the Lakers just go ahead and please LeBron and, you know, sign him as a free agent maybe if he goes undrafted? I'm not sure. It's just, it's an interesting question. Would that be the right move by the Lakers? Would that be the wrong move by the Lakers? How do you guys feel about that?
I think they're setting him up for failure, man.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I just feel like it. This is, you know, the better player than Marcus Jordan and them, but I think they're setting him up for failure. I think they're rushing the process too much with him. And I think he should be staying in school. Maybe not at USC, right? Maybe he goes to Duquesne. Who's the new coach at Duquesne? Is it Drew Joyce? It was one of LeBron's peoples is at Duquesne. So maybe he goes – Drew Joyce, right? He's got the bag already. He's got the NIL bag. He's making $5 million a year.
I don't think it's about the bag for him.
No, not about the bag. But what I'm saying is, like, you don't necessarily need that prestige of a school anymore, right? Because
you got
the money. You don't have to worry about getting any under-the-table deals. You go to Duquesne. Right. You get to shine. Now it's your team. You don't have to worry about being under somebody else's spotlight. You get the exposure, and you go from there. And I think that'll probably be the end result. But it's good that he's checking off all the boxes. But I just think at the end of the day, there's way too much pressure to rush his process when he hasn't even shown the ability to be a good NBA player yet.
It's just tough because CP, as you said, he hasn't shown the ability to be a good NBA player. And it just seems like we're just going based off, you know, name value where it's, oh, it's LeBron James' son. I think that sweepstakes of, like, you know, LeBron wants to play, you know, be on the same team as his son. So it's like, are we really just going to draft Bryant just to see if we can get LeBron? It just seems like, I feel like whatever team does this is trying to just sell seats, you know, and just like the idea of, like, we're going to have both these guys on the same team more so than we actually believe in Bronny as a player that we can rely on. And, like, maybe hopefully he does turn out to be a good role player. I think he just needs more time to develop. I think sometimes where you're just a superstar player's son that you're given so much limelight that, you know, you can succeed at all these different levels. But, you know, there's a lot of question about the AAU circuit that a lot of kids go through. There's questions about always transferring, going to different schools and not necessarily worrying into the game of, like, being a team player, being able to, like, rise up through adversity and just show that you can be that type of basketball player. I think there's a lot of questions, but hopefully he has success, man. That's all I hope for. Hopefully it's not like where you have Jordan's son who was just, like, flamed out, right?
Yeah.
It's like, oh, well, we're going to have Jordan's kid, so, you know, we're going to have the same thing that we had in Michael Jordan's. Like, no, that's not what that means. So,
yeah, man.
That's why I just
look what happened. The guy went on a tailspin. Now he's dating, you know, grandma.
I thought they were over. I thought that was over.
I think they're over.
I don't. Who knows, man? These celebrity people are weirdos anyway. But, you know, the bottom line is, hope for the best for the kid. I mean, am I lying or not, man? I'll go back to bird watching, man. Al, if you don't mind. You know what I'm saying? Because
technically, that is bird watching. Nope. I mean, you got to be some bird brains to be doing that type of stuff, man. How are you, like, hey, Dad, guess who I'm dating? I'm dating your second best, your teammate's ex-wife over here.
What is happening? It's like, man, these guys went on a whole tour in Australia, Barry and MJ. You got Scotty, Revenge. I mean, what happened to the dynasty, man?
And then what happened to Scotty, man? I mean, he's out here. It looks like, you know, got his whiskey and stuff of that nature. I mean, man's tarnishing MJ. It's like, why can't we just go off into the sunset?
He went on a no bull tour just to give his side of the story.
Yeah. I think all these guys went on a world tour to trash the guy that got him all the rings.
They saw the last dance. They're like, wait a minute.
Yeah.
Wait a minute.
We could do something similar.
Let's eat some more. Oh, maybe their residuals wasn't as high as Jordan's. Knowing him, they probably got nothing.
Well, the thing is, in that documentary, can you imagine, like, being somebody in that doc? It's like, everyone looked insane outside of MJ.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like, wait a minute. This guy punches Steve Kerr, but you're just like, oh, but it's okay. He punched Steve Kerr because, you know, that's leadership. And it's like, wait, stop.
So do you think it was Michael Jordan propaganda, that movie?
To a certain degree, yes.
Hey, I enjoyed it. Came on at a great time.
Oh, yeah, very entertaining. Yeah. I'm just saying, like, he just made it seem that guy was like a saint, almost.
Yeah. No question about it, man. Well, great show, fellas. We got Final Four tonight. Who are you guys going for in that one? I haven't even been keeping up. Hopefully UConn wins. I'll go for UConn. You got Purdue in it. UConn.
Let's go Purdue. Let's go Purdue.
Shake it up a little bit.
Yeah.
I got you. I like the fact that the UConn, like, dynasty is back. You know what I mean? Especially in this era of college basketball where guys are, you know, either one and done or they're going to Kentucky and all of that. UConn kind of, like, fell off for a second, and now they're just back, man.
Yeah, Kentucky, I mean, they're gonna have to change their philosophy.
They lost
bad early.
Yeah.
That kid Gulkey killed them.
Absolutely.
Remember the day of UK and Duke being the, you know, household names?
Yeah.
Ain't no more. Yeah. Well, I like that UConn is back, just like UCP. You know who needs to make a comeback? Hughes. Hughes needs to make a comeback.
Yeah, we need Hughes back.
I know it's a tall order.
We need Hughes back.
We were talking about Bronny. Maybe Cayenne could bring him back.
Hey, maybe, man. Food for thought. But great show, fellas. Salute to everybody who's out there watching, man. Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube as well. Remember to hit the like button, the share button, and subscribe to the channel. And also, remember that the show is available in audio podcast format. No reason to miss it. We are on every podcast platform under the NBA Report, man. Shout out to our sponsor tonight's show, Prize Picks. Go to prizepicks.com. Use our code MBAR for an instant deposit match of up to $100. Also, check out Combos Court. We have 2 to 3 podcasts each week right here on the NBA Report. So make sure that you guys are checking that out. And yeah, man, we will see you guys next week, man. Have a great show. Have a great weekend. Peace.